Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, radio show ministry hosted by Stan Wadsworth. The show is an opportunity to study God's Word together through careful inspection and wholesome dialogue. Whether calling in or in listening, we welcome our listeners to prepare their hearts and minds for learning that is for living, according to God's Word. Now let's hear from our host.
Welcome, welcome back to another segment of Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, Talk Tech Religion, Tech Talking Religion. Of course, this particular session seems appropriate because Easter is about to come up and we're about to go into the Lent season. The reason that I'm talking, even talking about this, is because, you know, as you all know, this radio broadcast is entitled Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. That's a ministry that the Lord has placed upon my heart, and for years has placed it upon my heart to increasingly more have this clarion call to others that we should rightly divide the Word of Truth, which means in layman's terms, not just do what we want to do, but rightly divide the Word of Truth, come to understand it, and to obey it in a way that is pleasing unto the Lord. And so to clear up a little smoke for other people that may be like I once was and they question these particular celebrations because they've heard a little something or they've studied and they know that they do have some pagan, meaning non-Christian, origins. I thought I'd do this 15-minute segment and see if we can clear up a little smoke. I'm going to have to move really quickly here. Because I've only got 15 minutes, and there's quite a bit of material. Some of it's going to be a little historical. If anybody needs any information, I can send it to you via Messenger. And I can even send you the outline here that I'm working from that I did so that you can look up some of these things yourself. I think I'm going to start posting my outlines in a link so that you guys can click on them and go back and review the material. Because a lot of it, you may not understand these complicated words, because I certainly don't. But anyway, we're going to first talk about the Lent celebration. Lent being a period of self-discipline, a period of fasting, moderation, self-denial. And that was originally, according to my research, even before the Protestant denominations, which just means non-Catholic. The Catholics observe this particular holiday celebration, and you'll know that because they have Ash Wednesday. And on that Wednesday, when you see people, they don't do it as much as they used to, but put the ashes on there, it symbolizes the fact that they're actually engaging in this self-discipline and, you know, whatever it may be, whether fasting or relenting from bad habits or whatever the case may be. It begins on Ash Wednesday, Lent does, and ends on Easter Sunday. The length of the Lenten fast, and when I say fast, not necessarily food, but however, whatever you may be refraining from, the length, the time, was established in the fourth century, in other words, 300-something A.D., as 46 days. But we've chopped it down because we exclude the Sundays. So it becomes in a month period, 40 days. Again, it's 6 weeks of fasting. So if anyone didn't know what Lent was, it's almost like a New Year's resolution, but a biblical, a spiritual one, where a person has purposed in their mind that they're going to do this for the sake of Christ. Okay. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the history and about the origin. It comes from Scripture. However, out of context, it may be taken. Some of the related scriptures of denial, self-denial, in these cases, fasting, Esther 4, 1 through 3, Jeremiah 6, 26, and Daniel 9, 3. Let me just go to Daniel 9, 3 for a minute and see how the Lord spoke about this particular thing. Let me see if I can find it. And 9:3, Daniel writes, I turn my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. We can go to the Esther scripture, Esther 4:1-3. I'll read it for you quickly. When Mordecai learned that all had been done, Mordecai was the uncle, I believe, to Esther. Mordecai tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city. And he cried out with a loud, bitter cry. He went up to the entrance of the king's gate, for no one was allowed to enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. He was a servant, an aide of the king. In every province, wherever the king's command and his decree reached, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting and weeping and lamenting, and many of them lay in sackcloth and ashes. What they were lamenting about was a lie had been told by Laban, I believe it was, who was Nesmith, the enemy, so to speak, of. He was jealous of Mordecai, and a lie was told, and as a result, the king was going to annihilate all of the Jews. So, that's what they were weeping about, just to put that in context. But like I said, these scriptures are some of the things that cemented the idea of fasting and so forth and self-denial. But over the years, these Lenten observances have developed more of a sacramental, which is an act value. Like Catholics consider communion a sacrament, an act that is pleasing to God, when really it's a command to do. But nevertheless, many Catholics believe that giving up something for Lent is a way to obtain God's blessing. But the Bible teaches that grace cannot be earned. The grace is the gift of righteousness. And if you don't believe me, just go to Romans 5:17 and it'll tell you the same thing. Additional scriptures, because we always want to use scripture. Additional scriptures in Matthew 6:16-18, Jesus taught that fasting should be done discreetly. So I'm not sure how Facebook posts about individuals, you know, proclamations about their fasting and they're giving up bacon and so forth and so on, glorifies God. I'm not quite sure when we look at scripture and we talk about how discreetly and personal this act should be and something that's done between you and the Lord. Fasting is a good thing, certainly for dietary reasons, if nothing else. And God is obviously pleased when we repent from our sinful ways. There's absolutely nothing wrong with setting aside some time to focus on Jesus' death and resurrection. However, repenting of sin is something we should be doing every day, not just for the 46 or the 40 days of Lent. If a Christian wishes to observe Lent, by all means, they're free to do so, according to Scripture, not Stan. The key is to focus on repenting of sin and consecrating oneself to God. Lent should not be a time of boasting of one's sacrifice or trying to earn God's favor or his increasing love. We just read that, you know, our faith is a gift from God. Everything that needs to be done for us has already been done. God is not going to love you more nor less. So I just thought that I would throw that out there. His love couldn't be any greater. I'll just end with that. Easter. So we've discussed Lent. Let's discuss Easter real quick. We have to move along. Like Lent, the Bible doesn't have mentioned anything about Easter, and it doesn't address any questions of whether we should celebrate it or not. Let me give you a little boring background, but you'll need to know this because this is a reason a lot of people don't celebrate Easter. In AD 325, the Emperor Constantine, who favored Christianity, he convened a meeting of Christian leaders to resolve important disputes at the Council of Nicaea. The Council of Nicaea is one of the first councils that actually set the groundwork down for Christianity, how it should be worshipped and the various practices and so forth and so on. That's many years ago. It's a deeper study. It's outside of the context of what we're doing now. But what we need to know for here is that the emperor, who wasn't a Christian, but he favored it, he convened some guys, and they were going to talk about things, and one of them was the naming of the celebration. The naming of the celebration as Easter, as it's called now, seems to go back beyond that to even a pre-Christian, to a pre-Christian goddess in England by the name of Easter, the goddess of spring. Easter, it's celebrated in the spring. During that time, the only reference to this goddess, to her specifically in connection with the Christianity, was a writing from the Venerable Bede, B-E-D-E. The Venerable Bede, who was a British monk who lived in the late 17th and 18th century, wrote, this is a little boring, but stay with me for a minute, the month in which English Christians were celebrating the resurrection of Jesus had been called Easter Month. It's an old English word. I know I'm not pronouncing it right. I tried to go and Google it and YouTube it. Nobody could give me any clarification. I gave it my best shot. It's an old English word, but what it means is Easter, which is the goddess of now, was the goddess that became, that helped name Easter. He went on to write further, even though Christians had begun affirming the Christian meaning of the celebration, they continued to use the name of the goddess to designate the season, which is essentially what we're doing now. So I guess it's safe to say that without turning it into a biblical history, let's just say that today's Christian celebration of Easter have pagan, non-Christian beginnings. And so based on that perspective, I want to prescribe Christians who believe we should celebrate Easter and those who believe we are not to, we're both hard-pressed to make a point. But what I do know is that Jesus' death and resurrection are realities we should celebrate all year long. There are passages that give us instructions, not specifically, but how we should celebrate various things. And they're clear. Colossians 2:16, 1 Corinthians 10:23-33, and Romans 14 are instructive in discerning whether we should celebrate Easter, and Christmas, because it's not specific, and how to go about doing so. We talked about the, and I'm running out of time here. We talked about the Romans 14 thing for a minute, but it goes on to tell us that those who, in my Bible calls it weak in faith, that celebrate certain things and think that they should adhere to certain things, like eating certain things or don't eat certain things, or celebrate certain things or don't celebrate certain things, celebrate certain things, are free. They're free to do what they do if in their heart they're convinced that it's right and that they're doing it to honor the Lord. These passages indicate that Christians have that freedom in questionable manners, like, you know, celebrating Easter and Lent. So it's not a cardinal sin. 1 Corinthians 10:23 through 24 tells us, I have a right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. Those who feel free to celebrate Easter, but in a way where it would be of a detriment or insulting to others, example of Chris, family member comes over, you're going to go to church and celebrate Christmas, celebrate Easter, but you can't do it. But you do it, but you should do it without looking down on them for not doing it. You go, you make your merry with the Lord, you praise the Lord, you come back home, make no mention of it. I've actually run out of time. I'm going to conclude here with saying this, that the Bible tells us that whatever we do, to be fully convinced and to do it in strict honor and worship and glory of the Lord, if you keep that in your heart, we can't go wrong. God bless you.